Hockey talk, hockey talk, hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, like, survive.
You gotta shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of my way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
All right, there's nothing au revoir going on now, or Francois, or whatever the hell.
To the season.
Andrew Raycroft is with us to break down what the hell happened last night. Razor, good morning.
Yeah, great morning.
Oh, I've never seen Razor so, I guess, upset. I was watching the post-game show with Razor. You were like, you didn't even know what to say. You were very just upset.
No.
It's like, because it shouldn't happen, right? Why?
There's nothing to say. And again, I don't play anymore. So, you can only imagine how frustrating it is for players. I get it. It's just watching that, and it's just as simple as one shot through 32 minutes. Like, they had one shot on goal, and they had two shots on goal in the first period at home in game five. And it's like, that explains everything. Like, I don't know a team. There's never been a team that has won a closeout game, no matter if they're down 3-1 or up 3-1 or 3-3 or whatever it is, that have gotten one shot through 32 minutes. Like, that just, you can't win that way. So, it's frustrating because they had this team and they were playing so well. At game four, they're so good, and now it's gone. Fortunately, it's a 7-game series, and not you don't lose because you've lost two in a row, but it's got to look different, certainly, tomorrow night in the Garden.
Razor, how much of the Bruins' issues have been created by themselves offensively, where they can't get a shot through? And how much credit does Toronto deserve for just completely selling out on that end of the ice to block shots left and right?
Well, yeah, you have to give Toronto credit. They've done a great job clogging the middle. They've got five guys in the slot, and they seem to have found something defensively that has frustrated the Bruins. Now, conversely, it happened in game five, and not enough adjustments were made for game six because the same thing essentially happened, especially when we're talking about a first period. And so you give the Leafs credit, but the Bruins certainly, you can't just, you Toronto's not that good. They're not the 76 Canadians where they have 20 Hall of Famers and they're so good that you just can't beat them. It's, you have to make adjustments and you have to have your best players find a way to get pucks through, and yes, that can happen. It can happen one or two games, and you can credit the defense. But if it happens three times in a row, then certainly you're looking, something you're doing as well.
So I wanted to ask your opinion of this, because the first goal that Nylander had, so it's the low ride, no penalty, it's the icing the puck, and then it's Nylander, straight shot, and McAvoy seemed to be in the way. Like, I want to hear from a goalie. Like, was he at fault for being in the eyesight of the puck? Like, should he have been out of the way?
Yeah, so it happens fast out there, right? It's one of those plays where he's battling in front, and while Nylander's making his moves up top, he takes a little wrister. Now, McAvoy, where he was at that point, of course, it would have been great if he had been able to read getting out of the way earlier, but I think it's a quick little wrister. Like, it wasn't evident or obvious that Nylander was shooting at that point. He was kind of skating around up top. Beecher was doing a good job fronting. So McAvoy gets caught while the wrister is coming in. Now, the unfortunate part is he doesn't get enough of it. It's unlucky, but if there's critique, it's like you get more of you've got to shift right into it. You got to get all of that. You can't just get a piece of it and throw your leg up. You kind of have to take it right in the crest or in the guts, because Swayman's going to do the same thing. He's right behind you. You saw Swayman's reaction. He knew where the puck was. He did find it through the traffic. So Swayman could see around McAvoy. He saw the release. So it wasn't really that McAvoy was in the way there. It was just more that he got just not enough of it or too much of it to deflect it into his net.
Our pal Andrew Razor Raycroft with Gretchen Fourier, he of Nesson, and of course with us here at WEEI, breaking down the Bruins' loss in Game 6. Are the face-off losses choking the offense as much as some of our listeners have maybe sort of intimated? There's now a lot of people pointing to the, hey, you want to generate more offensive chances? Stop getting killed on face-offs. Is there a tie-in for you?
Well, yeah, there is somewhat of a tie-in in that you don't start with a puck. The face-off numbers, we had them on Nesson last night. They've gotten worse each game. It's like 54, 45, 44, 40, 37, 36. Like, it's gotten progressively worse. And so absolutely that can't help. When you don't start with the puck, they're working pretty hard shift to shift to try and get the puck back. And we've seen them generate. Even this season, they've generated quite a bit off faceoffs. Of course, previous years, you know, you were good for a goal a week off of a faceoff play that Bergeron was running. And, you know, it seems like right now they're at a point where they're on defensive mode before the puck gets dropped because they don't have confidence in winning the draw. And that's a mentality as well. So, listen, it's up to Coyle and it's up to Zacha especially. Coyle was pretty good in the second period and ended up getting his numbers respectable. But Pavel Zacha was one of 10 last night. He's out there too much to go 1 of 10. You can justify 4 of 10, but 1 of 10, it's not good enough, and that doesn't allow his line mate who scores the most goals on his team, David Pastrnak, to have the puck enough.
So, Razor, how concerning is that they mess around and start flat game 5? And then I'm sure the message is pretty clear. Let's start on time, right? And I'm Montgomery. I'm so angry. I'm not going to stop being angry till game 6. Well, sure enough, the numbers are worse. They play worse in game 6 than game 5. How concerning is that? Back to back games, they're flat and they don't learn their lesson.
No, it's really concerning, right? It's really concerning. It's you know, it is. Yeah, it's concerning. But it's the beauty of it is, and we've seen it in this series. Listen, after game 4, Toronto had done the same thing through their 2 games at home. And they played horrible. They played bad. They were lifeless. They didn't have much. The Bruins were taking it to them. It doesn't mean because you played bad for 2 games that you're going to play bad the 3rd game. And that momentum doesn't carry over. You're at home. You have an opportunity to release the weight of the world that is on this team's shoulders right now. You have an opportunity to have a great first period, find a way to score 2 goals, get the guarding going. The good news is Toronto still can't score. The great news is you have a goaltender who is lights out, who is not giving up goals if he sees the puck and if it doesn't go off of his teammates in front. He is lights out, and he's not going to be bad in game 7. He's going to be great again in game 7. So you don't have to score 5 goals. It's a different feeling from last year and where you gave up 7 goals in game 6 and it really felt like you were reeling. This is just offense. You score goals, you score 2 goals in the first, or if you score 3 goals in this game tomorrow night, you're going to win the game because your goaltender is great and you're still pretty solid defensively.
The first period woes, especially on offense, Razor, are glaring. Is there an easy pathway to fixing that, or is it just go out and grind and that's really all the players can do?
Well, the easy way for me is it's up to the players. Like, I want, as you know, and as you guys played the sport, if you have control of it, it's much easier. It's when things are out of your control that you feel helpless and you feel frustrated. This is all up to the players. There's nothing that's happened to them. There's nothing that is precluding them from being great tomorrow night. They have home ice. It's 8:00. It's against a team they know very well and have had success against in an extreme way up until 3 days ago. And they still should feel like they have the better roster and the opportunity to win. So there's no question that it's completely in the players' control and they can go out and completely change the narrative. So in those respects, I hope they feel really bad. I hope they feel really frustrated right now, but I hope they do recognize that in 60 minutes, everything changes on how everyone feels about this team.
So, Razor, just trying to look at a correlation between when the Bruins are winning and when things are going well for them and when they're struggling, like in their losses. And special teams is got to be a part of that, right? Because, like, in their wins, they've gotten multiple power play opportunities. In their losses, Toronto has been, you know, pretty good at not giving them those opportunities. I'm curious to find out, like, if you think, you know, that drawing extra penalties is a good game plan, or what do you think?
Yeah, well, that goes kind of to face-offs and having possession and getting in on forechecks and getting pucks in the neutral zone, creating turnovers. All of that kind of leads into getting power play opportunities. If you're chasing a game, if you don't have the puck, you're not going to get penalties. You're not going to get power play opportunities. And it's only one in the last two games each, right? Like one in game five, one in game six. So your power play has to be pretty precise to score if you've only getting one opportunity. The reality is in the NHL, the great power plays end up getting three or four opportunities, and they score on one of them. That's 33, that's 25%, that's the high end of the league. But you need three or four to kind of break down the defense. You need to break down the PK over the game and to get those opportunities. So that goes all into just the whole offense component. If they do a great job five-on-five offensively, if they get on forecheck, if they turn pucks over, then they're going to get their power play opportunities. And if they get four, I feel very, very confident that they're scoring at least one power play goal. It's when they're only getting one opportunity where it's so much easier to kill.
Razor, the role of the captain going into a game seven, especially since Jim Montgomery really didn't call out Marshy the way he called out Pasternak, what is the role of Marchand off the ice leading into game seven as you see it?
Well, Brad's done an unbelievable job this series. So there's absolutely, you know, there would be no reason to call him out or use his name. I mean, he's been incredible every game, and he's dragged his team into the fight. He's got 8 points over six games, and he's been in a lot of these game sevens and certainly winning a Stanley Cup. He won four of them. So he knows exactly what it takes to do that at a high level. And listen, Brad will know and understand as well as kind of what I'm saying, in that things change quickly with one of these game seven wins. In 2011, they're dead to rights. They're having the same conversation. If they don't win this game, everything's getting blown up, and then they go on and win a cup, and everybody on that team never has to pay for a meal in this city again. Where if they had a loss in overtime in game seven, it goes the exact opposite way. So he understands that. I'm sure he'll be able to pass that along, but he needs the lieutenants to come along. He needs the McAvoys, the Pasternaks, the Zachas, the Coyles, the Lindholms. He needs those guys to come along and join him in the leadership. This isn't just you don't have a chance if you're relying on one guy in the sport of hockey.
So the one thing I'm curious about is like, is the whole Austin Matthews, you know, not playing, skating, looking really good, waiting until the last minute. Like, what is the deal with him? Like, do you think he is just, because I saw him skating the other day, I was like, wow, he looks pretty good. I can't believe he's not going to play. Well, then he didn't play.
I don't know. I don't know. Certainly he's injured. Certainly
he doesn't. That's the thing.
Is,
he doesn't look injured at all, and not like, no, I have a keen eye.
So something's not allowing him to take contact, right? Like, that's typically what happens. Again, we kind of talked about this, I think, when we were, you know, when we were talking about Nylander, like, you know, I can go play golf, but I'm not a pro golfer. Like, I go out and play golf and I hit the golf ball around and it's real fun, but that's not the same sport as the PGA Tour and playing the US Open. And it's kind of the same with hockey. You and I can go play hockey on the ice, but it's not playoff hockey. And that's kind of what you see with Matthews, and we saw with Nylander in the series, you know, earlier in the series. They're skating around, they look amazing, they're flying around, but if you can't take a hit, if, you know, whatever it is that he has going on, I'm assuming that's what it is. Now, Toronto's got a big decision to make because they have played fantastic without Austin Matthews. Do you risk putting him back in the lineup in game seven at 80% and having the lines change. Nylander back on the third line. Marner back down on the second line with Tavares. Do they switch things up to put a 69 goal scorer, or do they run with the lineup that has won the last two games, no matter how, you know, even if Matthews is 99% healthy? So I think that's it's a pressure decision for Sheldon Keefe, and it'll be interesting to see what they do, because as we've seen, when you change a winning lineup, it does affect the group.
So you think that, like, having him back would screw up their mojo?
I think it could. I think it's a tough decision. I think it's a crazy thing, and I know it's counterintuitive to say that you don't necessarily want a 69 goal scorer in your game seven game, but it has, they've been better without him in the lineup than with him, and there's not a lot of logic to that, but it's happened, and it can be. You know, it'll come up either way. It'll be a decision either way. And as we know, decisions are tough this time of year for coaches.
All right, Razor, thanks for the breakdown, friend. We appreciate it. It'll be Pucker Butt City, 8 o'clock Saturday night.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Just score the first goal.
Yeah.
And the place will be electric, and it'll relax, and everyone will be happy, and go. Just go for it. Can we just go for it? Because it is Pucker City for the next.
Oh boy, I tell you what, a nightmare
here.
It's going to be if they lose.
Oh, and
everybody's going to be run out of town.
I'm going to Florida on Sunday. I'm going to Florida on Sunday, guys. No matter what, I'm going to get a haircut now. I'm going to get prepared. I'm going to get a tan.
There you go.
What tanning bed do you go to?
Stop it.
Where do I go for a tanning bed?
Stop
it. Oh my God.
Go down to LA and find my parents.
All of a sudden, Razor now is turning into Kramer at the Bachelor auction.
Look orange.
He has his GED, and he recently got a haircut.
You know what? If you screw it up, Razor, just for the record, you will look like an Oompa Loompa. Like, if you get the wrong, like, you know, you don't want to go like,
He is too thin to be an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, and you're missing pizza today, by the way. Like, I don't know what your problem is. It should have been in studio right now to partake in some of the spoils.
I slept in a little bit longer than usual. I was way behind chasing my day today, so I apologize for
No worries. I'm sure there'll be another bet that I lose.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
You'll come up with something else. What about game seven? Is it Allmark game seven?
No. You should be happy. There's no goalie issue now.
No, he's going Allmark.
That's the only thing.
He's going Allmark in game eight, so that way we can get pizza.
No, it'll be Allmark in overtime. Now put him in.
Razor, thank you, buddy. We'll catch you next week. Thank you.
All right, be good.